Welcome back to the second hour of 2 hours of Jewish soul music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. This is a special that will feature my friend, cantor Sidney Dworkin. And we'll tell you more about his wonderful radio program. But let me just give you a heads up. You want to remember www.radio-shalom.ca. That's radio-shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M dot C-A, because it's from Canada. And he has a program every Sunday morning that's live from 10 to 11. And it's rebroadcast on Thursdays at 3 to 4. And it's archived. And this past Sunday, which was yesterday, Cantor Dworkin interviewed me. And you can catch the interview by going to their website, www.radio-shalom.ca. I'll be repeating that again later on in the program. it's reciprocity. So this will feature an interview that I did with him at the Cantorial Council of America convention last weekend, and some of his excellent recordings. But first, let me just make a note to you that Wednesday, that's July 20th, there will be a special prayer service in memory of Leiby Kletsky. The cantors who will be there are Nathaniel Herstick, Yanky Lemmer, Yossi Malavani, Bensian Miller, Zevi Muller, Yaakov Rosenfeld, and there will be a choir led by Yitzchak Haimov. It's going to take place at the Sephardische Shul at 4502 14th Avenue in Brooklyn. It's, again, the Sephardische Shul, 4502 14th Avenue in Brooklyn. This is a service that is being presented, if you will, in cooperation with Cantor Benny Rogoznitsky, my partner in Cantor's World, and by me. So again, Nathaniel Herstick, Yanky Lemmer, Yossi Malavani, Bensian Miller, Zevi Muller, Yaakov Rosenfeld, they will certainly be singing prayers that will hopefully help to ease the pain that that we all feel. Okay, before I get to the interview with Sid, let me start off with a composition that he wrote, and this is V'shomru, V'shomru.
V'shomru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Shomru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael oti le'olam. Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael Shomru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Shomru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael oti le'olam. Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael oti le'olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz u-vayom ha-shvi'i shavat v'ayin ha-fash v'shameru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabat lasod et ha-shabat v'dorotam Berit Olam Yishameru v'nei Yisrael Et ha-shabat Lasot et ha-shabat V'dorotam Berit Olam U'vayom ha-shvi'i
That was that is Sid Dworkin of Montreal, and after this next election, you'll be hearing the interview that I made with him just this past week while we were up at Kutcher's. The next election that we'll hear is a composition by Rosenzweig, and it's the Birkat HaChodesh.
Son mir von nach Ado Shemelo Keinu Melo Keinu Shet Chodei Sholeinu Et HaChodesh HaZeh Shet HaChodesh Aleinu Et HaChodesh HaZeh Letovah Liberacha
Sid Dworkin. Now let's go to the interview of just a few days back.
Very pleased to have with me cantor Sidney Dworkin from Montreal, and we're going to be discussing his thoughts about Chazarnas. But before we begin, well, shalom. How are you, Chazan?
Shalom, Charlie. It's a great pleasure to be on your program. And of course, as you know, I also have a program on Chazarnas, and it's a good opportunity to share with you and for you to share with me, I think.
Okay, so we'll discuss that in a few minutes, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where were you born and your education in Chazarnas and so forth?
Well, I was born in Montreal, and I began my career as a Chazan perhaps a lot later than some others, although maybe not really, but I kind of fell into the whole thing backwards. I grew up in a synagogue called Chever Kedisha B'nai Yaakov, and the B'nai Jacob synagogue was one which was reputed for Chazanim from the earliest of times. As a matter of fact, in the early part of the century, in the 20s, they used to have different Chazanim coming every 3 months to that shul. There were people like David Reutman, Ben Sion Kapav Kagan, famous Chazanim, and eventually, of course, it became inefficient financially to do such an arrangement, so they decided to finally settle on one Chazan who would remain the Chazan for permanent times. And I remember older people talking to me about all these Chazanim that used to show up every 3 months and stayed in their house, and they got to know them and so on. So it was a fascinating history. But they finally settled on one Chazan. His name was Yehoshua Rosenzweig, Alav Hashalom. He was a beautiful Zugar Chazan, full of sweetness, Mesikas, as we say. And he was my Chazan growing up. When the shul amalgamated with the Chever Kedisha shul, which was nearby in the old area, and then the demographically in Montreal, the Jews started to move west, and finally they had a new location in the further west part of the city, and it was quite a prominent synagogue, this amalgamation. And the Chazan who came was the one who had been at the B'nai Jacob, the one who had finally replaced all of these other great Chazanim, and that was Yehoshua Rosenzweig. So from the time I was 10 years old, I lived down the block from the shul, and my father used to bring me to the shul, and I was a participant in the junior congregation and so on, but I always used to sneak away to listen to Chazan Rosenzweig because I was fascinated with his melismatic style and his warmth and his sweetness. It was something that moved me a great deal. It moved me actually to tears. And so I found myself walking around the streets imitating him and singing the things that I heard him sing in shul, the nusach, things like the Kaddish before Tal and Geshem. These were nuska'ot that kind of entered deeply into my soul, and I walked around the streets singing these things. And eventually I had my bar mitzvah there, and the choir director, his name was Yehuda Weinberg, he's also passed on, was a wonderful Jew and a great musician. He took notice of me on the recommendation of one of his choir members, and he heard how I sounded, and he thought that when the time came, I would be a good candidate for the choir. So at the point that I was about 17 or so, maybe it was 16, I can't remember exactly, he invited me to participate and become a member of the choir, and he sent me for voice lessons to a private teacher. So that's how I kind of began, and I sang in that choir for a number of years. I eventually became the tenor soloist, and it was a fascinating experience, and I gleaned a lot from Chazan Rosenzweig. Like a lot of others, I was very influenced by the recordings of the Koussevitzkys. This also influenced me quite a lot. And little by little, I started to form myself in Chazanas, although I really didn't have an intention to become a Chazan, necessarily. And then it happened that a rabbi from one of the suburbs heard me in a concert situation and decided that I was going to be the Chazan of the shul. And so I kind of apprenticed with my Chazan and eventually evolved to the point where I started with this small shul and kind of evolved on the job, if you like.
And so how old were you when you
So my first position as a Chazan, I was actually 24.
Really?
Yes.
Now, were you able to support yourself solely as a Chazan all these years?
Well, it's an interesting question, because in those days, of course, the dollar value was quite different than it is today. But I wasn't married at that point. I was a single fellow. And in fact, the amount of money that I made as a chazan at that time allowed me to support myself.
So how old were you when you got married?
Oh, well, I married fairly late, I guess. I was 33. And I had already been a chazan for a number of years in different positions, but while I was chazan in that suburban shul, which I began with, was for about a period of 5 years. During the day, I went back to school, and I actually had a Bachelor of Music degree from McGill University.
Uh-huh.
And so this also helped me with my cantorial career, obviously. And but also, while I was a chazan, at that first position, I went back to school and worked on another degree, which was a master's degree in social work. And I kind of flirted back and forth between the two careers all my life. Eventually, when I got married, I decided that it was time to have a higher paying position. So I applied for the position of chazan at Shar HaShemayim in Montreal, which you may know is a very prominent synagogue. It's the largest synagogue in the city. At that time, it had a membership of about 1,650 people. And I was fortunate to secure the position, and I was there for 17 years, and then I became emeritus, which I am today for the last 7 years, and had the opportunity to work with a choir every Shabbat and every Yantav. It was a wonderful experience, and this gave me an opportunity to produce my CDs and DVD and so on.
Okay, I certainly will be playing, I'll have played some of your recordings prior to playing this interview, and then afterwards we'll be hearing some more of your favorites from the CDs that I have, and I'll be very happy to share with my audience. Now, I understand that you have your own radio program in Montreal. Why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about it? First of all, when is it on, and how can they
access it? Yes, the program is called The Cantor's Corner, and it started in a very interesting way. Montreal is fortunate to have a 24-hour-a-day Jewish radio station. The station is actually called Radio Shalom. It's at 1650 on the AM dial, but that's only in Montreal. You can't access it on that wave in New York, of course. However, the person who began the station was a Sephardic Jew who was totally committed to this, and only because of him did this station take off. And what happened was I started listening to the station, and I was extremely impressed with the diversity that there was there. But I heard them speaking about Jewish music and that they play all types of Jewish music, but I noticed that Chazanut was missing. Of course, for me, that's an essential ingredient in Jewish music, which I'm sure you agree.
Yes,
Charlie, I know you're a great lover of Chazanut from way back.
Yes.
So this was something that I decided to make a statement about, and I contacted a rabbi who was doing a segment on the radio station and asked him to speak to the powers that be and tell them that Chazanut seemed to be missing. Could they do something about it? The next thing you know, one of the higher-ups in the station, who I happen to know for a long time myself and didn't realize it, calls me up, tells me that he heard about my request, and says, "Sid, you're the person to do it. You're the one to do that program." So I said, "Well, you know, I'm not sure if I have the time for it. Maybe I could do a half an hour." He says, "No, we need an hour a week." So I said, "Look," I said, "if I'm doing it in any case voluntarily, let me start with a half an hour. P.S., the first four programs were half an hour, and almost 200 programs later, it's always been an hour."
So you started about 4 years ago then?
That's right, yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, is it archived? Can people hear this on the internet?
So the program is actually, of course, in the internet, and the website is www.radio-shalom.ca. That's www.radio-, sometimes people get mixed up about that, -shalom.ca, and CA of course is for Canada. Once you get into that website of Radio Shalom, then you just look up Cantor's Corner, or my name, Cantor Sid Dvorkin, and you can access the program live, which is heard Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., that's the same as New York time, and repeated Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m.,
Now, it is Dvorkin, D-W-O-R-K-I-N.
That's correct.
Okay. And now, is it archived?
Yes, archived. Yes, that's what you asked me. Yes. The program is archived up to a point, so it's not every week that's archived, but what I've tried to do is put those programs which I thought would be of global interest into the archive so that people could listen to them whenever they felt like it.
And how did they reach the archive?
The same way? The same website, and just look up the program again, and then it'll say listen live or archive, and then you can choose what you want.
Okay, so it's www.shalomradio
radio-shalom.ca.
S-H-A-L-O-M. Shalom, because sometimes it's O. S-H-A-L-O-M .ca.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, of course, I'll be repeating that quite frequently on my program.
Right.
And again, it's Sunday mornings live from 10 to 11.
Sunday mornings live from 10 to 11, and Thursday afternoons from 3 to 4 live.
3 to 4 live. Okay, so I encourage my listeners to tune into this. They can get. I have listeners who can never get enough of it, and
I'm sure
that they will be pleased to hear your take on Chazanis.
I'm sure you also had the listeners who contacted you who weren't even Jewish. I had one guy call me up and say, "I'm Italian. I'm not Jewish at all, but I absolutely love this kind of music. Keep up the good work."
Well, how about telling us just some of your other experiences with the show? I'm sure that it's been quite an experience for you.
Well, yeah, it's been really special. And, you know, when you're doing a show like this, as you know yourself, you want to try to be novel or interesting and not just repeat the same approach every single time. So what I try to do is, first of all, to focus on all the Jewish holidays and mm-hmm. make the program specifically geared to each Jewish holiday.
Right.
Also, what I've done is with Hanukkah, Purim, and Passover, I've put in, amongst the other programs that lead up to those holidays, I put in a children's special, which I call it, and a lot of the music comes from Paul Zimm, many of his famous tapes for children, and a few other people thrown into the mix as well, Cantor Ari Subar and others, and so that's another way that I've done it. Sometimes I put on a program, just to vary it a little, of Yiddish favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So the spin on that is, of course, that the people who are singing, for the most part, the Yiddish songs are Chazanim, because the program is meant to feature Chazanut and Chazanim, the music of Chazanis, and also the Chazanim themselves. So if the Chazanim sing Yiddish, so it's another good reason to play a Yiddish program and have a little bit of diversity. Another thing I try to do from time to time is put on Svartic cantors, just for a change of taste, a little bit of Svartic music. And there are many Chazanim who have kind of crossed over.
Yes.
And who were Svartic cantors who sing.
Ben Susan, of course.
Right, Ben Susan. I play a lot of his stuff. And what happened actually in Montreal because of that is the Svartic Chazanim, who are actually quite well organized themselves in Montreal, saw what I was doing, and they decided they should have equal time.
Great.
So they produced their own program of Svartic Chazanut.
Well, I've been remiss on that, and I am planning to have a special, at least a special on the Sephardic music. Actually, we're at this Cantorial Council of America convention, and there was a young Chazan who came to me and said that he is davening at the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue, which is just a few blocks away from where I live.
Uh-huh.
And I said, we got to do a Sephardic program, so I'm encouraged to do that.
That's great.
Now, you are emeritus, but are you still davening?
Well, I daven all over the place, if you like, because wherever I go, people ask me to daven if you daven Shachrit or Musa. So I do that. I still do some services at Shar Shemaim as emeritus. I fill in for the Chazan when he's not there a few times a year. And occasionally different locations, but for the most time it's kind of a relaxed format.
I see.
And I enjoy that. I have enough opportunity to kind of air it out.
Uh-huh.
And that's it's fulfilling for me in that way. And the other good thing that happened to me, kind of because I was emeritus and stopped davening at a certain point for the high holidays, is that I began going to Uman. And Uman in the Ukraine, of course, the burial place of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov.
Yes.
And this is a fascinating topic. You could easily devote an entire program just to that.
By the way, I play a lot of his music. I have perhaps 10 or 12 Rabbi Nachman tapes put out by the Breslovers.
Right. There's a lot of beautiful music.
But how did you come to that?
It's an interesting story. My wife... her birthday is the Yortzeit of Rabbi Nachman,
uh-huh.
And my birthday is Heyav. It's the Yortzeit of the Ari. So really, if you know the Breslov tradition, the root souls that emanate from Moshe Rabbeinu all stem down to Rabbi Nachman. And this takes in the Ari and the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and and the Baal Shem Tov, of course. So each one of those people in that chain of these very special neshamot brings us a different type of Torah. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai brought us the Torah of the Zohar, and the Ari brought us the Torah of Kabbalah. The Baal Shem Tov brought us the Torah of Chassidus. Moshe, of course, brought us the Torah Bechlal. And Rabbi Nachman is said to bring us the Torah Mashiach. So I know that goes counter to some of the Lubavitch thinking, but this is the Breslov tradition.
Uh-huh.
And anybody who studies Likutei Moran will tell you that Rabbi Nachman, as some of the rabbis in Breslov say, nobody says it like Rabbi Nachman.
Well, certainly when you go to Israel, it's na na nach nach neyuman all over the place, and
right.
They does seem to have there does seem to be a growing group of young people who are being exposed to his teachings.
That's right. The nanach, which is what you're referring to, is kind of it's just a fringe part of the Breslov movement. The mainstream Breslov movement is made up of many, many different types of Jews, some who look like other Hasidim, Bel, Satmar, what have you, and some who look like Vizhnitz, Vizhnitz is of course other Hasidim, but look like the Litvish black hat kind of look, some who look modern Orthodox, and so on. You have all types. So it's a fascinating collection of 30,000 Jews in Uman every Rosh Hashanah.
I know, I hear about
and
it.
And there are minyanim all over the place, on the streets, in every corner.
Yeah, do you daven when you're there? Do you lead a davening?
Well, sometimes I lead a Marav service on Rosh Hashanah, which I just kind of put together on the street.
Oh.
And that's for me fun, because after all, the Marav is specific in its nusach, but at the same time, it's not very long. Yeah. So that, to me, is fun.
Uh-huh.
To daven in the daytime, Musaf, in an elaborate way that a Chazan davens, that's much more of an effort.
Gotcha.
So I'm really there and I want to focus on my own Avodat Hashem, and I don't want the responsibility of doing that. So I go to certain different minyanim when I'm there, and actually when I did the service, the rabbi of the Breslov Shtiebel in Montreal kind of came in with me, and we made our own service on the street in front of the Klois, which is the biggest place where the minyanim are in Uman, and we did the Marv service. So one of the people who just passed by and joined the minyan, he says, "What time do we daven tomorrow?" So I said, "Well, honestly, I'm not going to daven Shachrit or Musaf tomorrow. I'm going to be myself in another minyan." So he was very disappointed after hearing the Marv. He said, "Where am I going to find a minyan of Chazanis like that?" So I said, "Well."
Okay, that was a great compliment.
Yeah.
Just a couple more points. I am not familiar with the Jewish community of Montreal, and I'm just curious for my listeners, is it a growing community? Because I know there was a great exodus to Toronto when there was a sort of a problem many years ago, and I heard that it had sort of leveled off. So what is the situation for the Jewish community in Montreal or Greater Montreal?
Well, the Jewish community of Montreal is fairly stable. It was at one time a larger community. We're talking about bordering around 100,000 Jews. And there were a couple of periods of time, one that you mentioned, and then maybe another time when some Jews kind of panicked because of political things that were happening, decided to make the move west to Toronto. Toronto at this point has way surpassed Montreal in terms of numbers of Jewish community. They must be probably up to 200,000, maybe even more than that by now. I'm really not sure exactly. But there was a time when they were less than Montreal, so they've grown and they attracted a certain number of Montreals. But the Montreal Jewish community still probably hovers at around 90,000 or so. And perhaps 30 or 35% of that community is Sephardic. A lot of them are coming from North Africa, like Morocco, and some Iraqis, Jews, and so on. and the majority being Moroccan. So they make up a significant part of the community today, and it gives a nice flavor. There's this kind of diversity of the two groups. The Ashkenazim live in pockets in various parts of the city, and the old area, as we call it, sort of the Outrema, further east part of Outrema, is the place where still live all the Hasidim. You have Satmars, Vizhnitzers, Skver Hasidim,
really?
Abel's Hasidim, Munkach Hasidim, Babov Hasidim. They all live in a particular neighborhood, which was an area of the more mainstream Jewish community, but that community had moved west, leaving it to the Hasidim, which grew in numbers, and now that they are there. In the more western part of Outrema is an enclave of Litvish black hat types, Yeshiva Gedola, and Beis Yaakov schools are in that area, and there are many Shtiblach in that area, and there's a Young Israel there, which is probably the only real large shul structure in the area, and it's it hasn't really been functioning like kind of shul that has a chazan for a long time. The chazan that was there had left many years ago. They never replaced him. So for them, it's a bit of a struggle because really the action in the area is more a shtiblach. And then when you move further west, you have Hampstead and Côte Saint-Luc. And Côte Saint-Luc is one of the highest per capita areas in the world of concentration of Jewish people living. So they have a number of big shuls there. They have some shtiblach as well. And it's a really very vibrant community, Côte Saint-Luc. That'd be maybe the main concentration in the area. And then there's the suburbs.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to make it to Montreal someday, and I'm...
well, we'd love that.
I have more of an impetus to do that. So I remind my listeners that you can tune in. This is every Sunday morning from 10 to 11 live, and on Thursday from 3 to 4.
Right.
You can listen to it
live on the internet.
Once again, it's
www.radio-shalom.ca.
Okay, radio-shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, .ca, standing
right.
For Canada.
That's right.
And you can also go to that to hear archives of past programs that Cantor Sidney Dworkin has put on that. So I wish you continued success with your programming.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to our working together, sharing our thoughts and even some of our music together.
As am I.
Okay.
So thank you so much for this.
Okay. Shalom and thanks again.
Shalom.
Okay, so you heard the birds tweeting in the background. We were sitting outside by a beautiful lawn. It was a sunny day, and well, we were in the country. What could I tell you? So that was an interview with Sid Dworkin, and as I mentioned at the outset, yesterday morning at 10 o'clock, I had an interview on his program, and it's archived. And if you go to www.radio-shalom.ca for Canada, radio-shalom.ca, you'll be able to hear the interview. So we have a reciprocity going. Although I cannot reciprocate in terms of singing, I can only reciprocate in playing these wonderful, wonderful prayers. So let's go on back. The rest of the program will be recordings of Cantor Sid Dworkin. We're going to hear a David Kusevitsky composition, Birkat HaChodesh. Oh.
Thank you.
Bravo. Wonderful piece. That is Cantor Sid Dworkin from Montreal. And we have two or three more selections to share with you. By the way, I did say last week, but it's already 2 weeks ago. My gosh, that was at the Cantorial Council convention at Kutcher's. It was a lovely weekend. But you know, time flies by so fast when you're having a good time. Okay, our next selection is Birkas Kohanim, and this is a recording by Shmuel Malofsky. Birkas Kohanim. No, this is Val Yadei, I'm sorry.
Karata Viazine Yerushalayim Leymar Kalamar Hashem Zacharti La Chesed Chesed Neuraich Ahavat Klolotayim Lechtecha karoi b'mibar b'yeretz lo zeruwa v'nemar v'zacharti ani et priti otak mimein yoraich v'akimati lach v'akimati lach b'ri Yakir li Ephraim, Yakir li Im yelet, Im yelet shashluim, Im yelet Zachares kerenot al kain hamum yain la rachaim rachaim harachameno rachaim harachameno rachaim harachameno
Michel Yuday Milovsky. I guess, I don't know, did I have a senior moment? I was just reviewing, and did I say that the previous selection, previous to this one, was Birkat HaChodesh? No, obviously it was Birkat Kohanim. Birkat Kohanim. So I don't know if I said Kohanim or HaChodesh. I'm getting a little fatuzzled. Anyway, here is our next selection of Cantor Sid Dworkin, and this is a glance piece, Oz Bacall. Oz Bacall, and we're listening to Cantor Sid Dworkin from Montreal. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and we have one more selection. We have just enough time for this will be another glantz, Asher Bidvoro, Leibglantz. Enjoyed this 1 hour dedicated to cantor Sid Dworkin from Montreal, and it was a pleasure meeting him and sharing our thoughts a couple of weeks ago up at Kutcher's. I remind you that you can go to his program, which is every Sunday morning live from 10 to 11. It's called The Cantor's Corner, and it's on Radio Shalom. So if you, I guess you have a pencil by now or something handy, you'll go to www.radio-shalom, shalom.ca for Canada. It's rebroadcast on Thursdays at 3 p.m. for an hour, and then it's archived, I believe, for a few weeks. So you can hear the interview that he did with me yesterday morning. That was on the 17th. Just a reminder that in 2 days, Wednesday evening, July 20th, at the Svartische Shul at 4502 14th Avenue in Brooklyn, there will be a special prayer service in memory of Leiby Kletsky. I don't have to tell you the horrible situation that was, but this is a group of cantors who are coming to lead us in Tfilos, Nathanael Herstick, Yankee Lemmer, Yossi Malavani, Bensian Miller, Zevi Muller, Yaakov Rosenfeld, and a choir led by Yitzchak Chaimov. It will be at 8 o'clock Wednesday evening. That's at the Svartische Shul, 4502 14th Avenue in Brooklyn. And this is being done in cooperation with my friend cantor Benny Rogoznitsky and me. So shalom, everyone, and look forward to having you join me again next week.